You're listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. We've got our favourite guest, gardening guru professor, Wally Richards. Good morning, Wally.
Good morning, and good morning all the listeners out there, gardeners and stuff.
You know, it's a funny thing about talking about gardening. It's a bit like talking about nutrition. I have the wonderful Phyllis Titchener on, and I, years and years ago, read all about Weston A. Price, and I was highly motivated. But over time, you drift off. And whenever I have her back on, I get motivated again. And I find it's the same thing with you in gardening. You know, you're chugging away, and then I get you on the show and I listen, and it's highly motivational. And I think it's like church, you know, that you need to actually be in a group talking about it rather than just slogging away on your own. It just makes it more fun and you get inspired. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. And I've had a number of listeners and readers who have said the same thing to me. Listening to you and Rodney, you've inspired me. I've got back into the garden. I've grown veggies again, and I'm really enjoying it.
So this is our gardening church, we'll call it.
Yes, and we're making inroads against the powers that be who don't want us to have food.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. They're doing the gambles.
I know, and it's very strange.
The bird flu one, my God. There's no reason to kill off all these bloody birds and millions of them and so forth because they're not sick or anything, but it removes it from the food chain and along with the cattle, killing off cattle and so forth. And you wait, possibly in New Zealand, one day somebody's going to do a false PRC test or some damn thing and say, oh, the cattle have got bloody bird flu. Yeah. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Now, think about this logically. You can kill off all the cattle. You can kill off all the chickens and everything. How about the sparrows? How about the blackbirds? How about them? They're happy. They're still flying around. They're not dying. My God.
Well, it reminds you of that mad cow disease because that was hysterical.
Mm.
Have you been following Anthony Fauci?
No, I'm sorry, I haven't because
he's been backing off everything and they just made it up. They absolutely made up the 2-meter rule. And as some cynic and conspiracy theorist said, they made up the 2-meter rule so they couldn't have in-person voting. They had to do the mail-in voting, which allowed the system to be rigged. And I don't look into things that much, but that destruction of the bees' hives too, and they just come along and clean up all these bees and these hives, and, oh, well, you got this disease. We need to kill everything.
But the disease has been in New Zealand for bloody 50-odd years. And every now and again, it'll be found in a hive and you take appropriate measures. Never in the past, to my knowledge, and I've been playing with bees ever since I was about 25, as a hobbyist, I don't anymore because the hives are too heavy to carry, my God, when they're full of honey. But I remember back then you had to check for foul brood, et cetera. And if you had it, well, you just got rid of that bit of the hive that had it.
And it's a funny thing because you have a feeling, I'd love to know this answer to this. If readers know this, send us a text 2057, email us at inbox@rallycheck.radio. Because the system, and when I say system, political power and big business interests who align with political power, I'm a free market nut. I love business. I love the profit motive. I love entrepreneurialism. But what I despise is big business getting alongside government and bending the rules to their favour. Mm. Every regulation that we see favors big business.
Yep.
Because they can handle the cost of it, but a little business will go out of business.
That's right. And there's competition.
Yes. And so health and safety, employment law has made it impossible. And everywhere you look, you see the small-time businessmen going under and these chains coming in, these large corporates coming in, because they can do the – they'll have dedicated people looking at employment law, dedicated people looking at health and safety, and the little entrepreneur just can't do it. I remember talking to lawyers who would have like four or five lawyers and they're running a business very successfully, and they said to run their business, they themselves did nothing but compliance.
Right. Yep.
For four or five people. And that their big compliance issue, funnily enough, was something you and I know nothing about, which was the money laundering rules.
Yeah.
That when the money laundering rules in, they had to tick so many boxes. And so it's uneconomic for them to operate as a small business. But I have a funny feeling, I'd love to know the answer to this about chickens, because we often interests subvert good causes. And so there's this good cause, oh, let's get rid of cages and chickens. Yes, we'll go even further, say Countdown. And then we go through an egg shortage and you're limited to one or two cartons whenever you go to the supermarket. And then suddenly it's all back on again. And I wonder if that just cleaned out a lot of guys, a lot of smaller operators in the chicken business.
You're dead right. There was a poultry farm just out from Palmerston North. I used to be able to go there and get big bags of chook manure for about $5 a bag, great big bags and so forth. And I don't know, about a year or so ago, and I know that they were would have had caged chickens because you were not allowed to go anywhere near the factory where the chickens were, right? So they didn't let people see what's there. And, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty bad life. Imagine if you were in a cage with about another four or five people and all you got was a trough to eat out of and a floor to mess on.
It would be okay if it was you, Wally.
Oh, of course, we could talk all day about laying our legs and so forth.
No, but that's what I mean. It's a good cause, and you can't argue with the cause, but what happens is it gets subverted to a poorer outcome overall because it basically becomes more and more monopolized and more government/corporate running of our food supply.
Do you remember seeing an article I mentioned about somewhere, I forget the country now and I forget the city or whatever, but the local city offered everybody, homeowner, I think it was three free chickens each.
Oh, wow.
And what it did, it saved so many hundreds of tons of landfill by all the people that took up the offer and had like three chickens in their backyard and a nice little house and a nice little cage in which they'd feed all the scraps to from the kitchen, right? And they'd give them grass and other bits and pieces and a bit of wheat or whatever. But the astronomical reduction of landfill was incredible.
Funny.
Yeah.
Well,
and these people had like three eggs a day.
Isn't that great? Well, can I tell you, I'm a bit, as you know, scared of chickens.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
You're not a big rooster.
No, they scare the living bejesus out of me.
Are they?
Yeah.
They're lovely creatures. I've had.
Well, I got a story to tell you.
Okay.
So my 11-year-old daughter, always coming up with business ideas. And I always feel bad because I'm knocking her back oftentimes because it usually involves me doing a lot. So, for example, she decided to sell bread and Dad had to do all the baking. Anyway, she was going to have a lemonade stand, but it's sort of like dad's got a. Anyway, the latest one was she loves pets. And I've always said no because we're busy, and I got tropical fish and ended up looking after them. She decided she wanted chickens. So we relented, Mum and I, and we found a lovely lady, and she dropped us all 5 one-day-old chickens. And I thought, oh, here we go. Do you know I'm in love with these chickens? They're so cute. And she's named them all, and she sits out on the backyard playing with them, and we put them inside, and I run the heater all jolly night, keeping them warm. I got a wee lamp. They're a week old. They're 8 days old today.
Okay.
So I'm learning about chickens. And then isn't it funny how things provide, like you're saying about a cheap glass house? Blow me down over in Wanaka on Facebook. There was a beautiful chicken run and 2 coops for sale. So I went over there at the weekend and I'm setting that up for her. And so I'm in the chicken business. Well, my daughter is, and I'm helping. So there you go, Wally. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward. I was reading about it, and I read online that someone wrote, they said they got chickens. They said they now regard the eggs as a byproduct because the compost is so good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for the garden. Magic. It's the best compost you can get. NPK rating, the highest out of all animal manures, and the big advantage is there is no weed seeds in the compost. No, because the chickens, in the process of eating wheat or any grass that's got weed seeds or seeds with it, they kill it as it goes through their body, and the germ's gone. And so other than stray weed seeds getting into the chicken manure, it's pure, and you can use it in your garden, and it is the very best NPK. If you have chickens and you go and get some fresh chook manure and you make a hole and you put a handful of chook manure in the bottom of the hole, just put a little bit of soil over the top, take a young lettuce seedling, put that in, plant it, and you watch it just goes, ooh, grow. You'll be eating that lettuce outside leaves anyway within a few weeks. No trouble at all. They love it. Fresh chook manure. It's incredible.
I
have 20-odd chickens at the moment in the backyard in a run with a chook house. I get probably about 12, 15 eggs a day. I sell them in my shop next door. Listen to this, $5 a dozen, free-range, organic, the whole bit, $5 a dozen, and they sell like hotcakes.
I bet they do.
And I'm making money.
Well, you better not tell that to my daughter, because she's done her business plan.
Yeah.
And she's done her business plan on $10 a dozen.
Oh, my God. Cheaper at the supermarket.
Well, the funny thing is that business plan involves her selling them to me for her breakfast. And every time I do so, she bought the chickens out of her own money, but I bought the chicken run. And every time I do something, she says, oh, well, I'll give you a couple of free eggs, Dad. And you're thinking, yeah, and you'll eat them when I cook them. But it is lovely because she's a girl that can get introspective and sort of get worried about nothing, you know, how kids can. But when she's busy looking after these chickens and getting everything ready, and I made her reassemble the chicken run on her own, her and her sister, and they had a hell of a job putting it up. It's like a metal frame. Mm-hmm. But she did it with no help. But they had a great afternoon at the weekend figuring all that out, King's birthday weekend. And it's funny how watching kids have to do something and problem solve, like you and I could have done it in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. They took about 4 hours, but they had a well of a time, and it's a bit wonky. I'll have to go and straighten it up. But they had a great satisfaction, and I thought, you know, you just got to let them be sometimes. And I think the chickens will be great therapy for her.
Yeah, they are.
I think we've got enough run, and we've got two coops. One will be inside the run, and one will be outside but connecting to the run. And I think I calculated from reading online that we'll have enough for 20 laying chooks. So we'll be like you, a dozen eggs a day. And
well,
I've
maybe
just
20, yeah.
I've just bought, I don't know if I should say this on here. I just bought a stoat trap from Doc.
Okay.
Doc 200 stoat trap, because we have stoats where we live.
All right.
And I thought they're going to potentially hammer. I've got wire netting to put over the run, came mm-hmm. with it. But I've only got enough to dig it down about 4 inches. I'd rather go down a bit more than that. But I thought I'll get a stoat trap. But this stoat trap from Doc that you buy from a wildlife trust is called
okay.
200. Comes down on that stoat like a bloody hammer.
Okay. Now, here's an important thing. In the hen house, which I presume you've got a hen house.
Yeah.
And is that just sitting on the ground?
No.
Is it got a wooden floor?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
So what I've got two hen houses that came with it, what I bought at the weekend.
Right.
One hen house. So I've got a big run, like the size of a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With wire netting over it and a
yep.
steel frame. Inside that, they had a little hen house that was off the ground that had a little run beneath the hen house. Then they had a larger coop that had a hole connecting to the run that's on skids and is only about 4 inches off the ground. Does that make sense?
Okay. No. That's okay. The thing is, of course, the chook manure for the garden, you collect that from the hen house, because at night time, while they're up there on their perches and so forth, sleeping away and having their toilets, right?
Ah.
So you've got to be able to, like, if it's sitting on the earth floor, you just lost your chook manure because it's...
Got it.
Right? I always put down a concrete base and sit it on top of a concrete base. It does two things. It stops the rats being able to dig in. They can still come through the entrance, but they can't dig in. And the concrete being nice and smooth, it's easy enough to, with the shovel, pick up. And, of course, on the concrete floor, you put, like, untreated wood shavings or sawdust. And so you get a mix of chook manure, chook pea, and sawdust shavings, right, in which – after a couple of months or so, you dig out or scrape out, put it into the gardens or do whatever, and then you put down a fresh lot of sawdust wood shavings, and away they go again for another couple of months, right? With a wooden floor, as long as it's nice and smooth, you'll be able to scrape with a harsh shovel or whatever the chook manure off that. And, of course, on top of that, ideally get some wood shavings from Farmlands or from PGG Wrightson. They have big bales of it. They use it for in the carving and so forth. You know, when they're inside on concrete floors. So you can get bales or
Grace should add to her business plan selling chook manure.
Oh, yes. Very good money. I see a poultry farm down Levin. I think they're charging $20 a bag. They're good sized bags, but I'm going, oh my God, it's expensive. Seeing I get it for nothing.
Yeah. Oh, well, I better not tell you that. I'll be paying for my eggs and my chook manure. She's rapacious. She's absolutely rapacious.
That's a problem with children when they get.
Can I tell you a funny story about kids? I built these beautiful cabins, and I've got one finished. Kids are in it. still building my second one. And I said, Grace, we're going to have to sleep in your room. Oh, well, I love my room. Yeah. I tell you what I'll do, Grace. I'll pay you $100 to sleep in there a month. Really? I said, yes. Oh, that'd be great. So she goes into her brother's room and is sleeping there. And he's 9. He says, what are you doing sleeping in my room? Oh, well, mum and dad need that room. And what are they paying you, Grace? She says, oh, I'm not saying. He says, well, I want 50-50. No, 60-40.
Right.
And she says, I'll make it 50-50. He says, okay. And then he says, what are they paying you, Grace? And she says, $10 a month. So he's getting 5, she's getting 95. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, I don't know, I can't interfere with this, but I say, I think she'll be quite successful in life because she's got this rapaciousness and numbers and she's writing it all down. She's dyslexic, but she writes it all down. You can't trick her on a dollar.
Okay.
So these chickens are proving great for her. And like I said, while the little chicks, I find them the cutest things.
Mm.
They're so beautiful. They were a day old when we got them. I was scared stiff the first night. I had heaters on and everything to make sure because I thought, oh, God knows what will happen if we wake up and they're dead. It'll be another lesson for them in another way. But anyway, they're absolutely thriving, and I can't get over how quick they grow.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know where to put them next. I'm still working on that because at the moment they're literally in the kitchen in a big container with a wee heat lamp and the heater going all night. But in the next week or two, I'm going to have to move them somewhere else. But chickens are quite well, we'll be able to talk about this because I'm getting the hang of it. Tell me, what do you do? Do you have a chicken run?
Yeah, I've got a big run outside.
Is it enclosed? Like,
oh, with wine?
And
yeah. But nothing over the top.
Okay, because we've got hawks and funnily enough, we have peregrine falcons here.
Yeah, good.
Which are a beautiful bird.
Yeah.
But of course, they'd take a chook.
Yeah, oh, no trouble. Yeah.
So we've got have to have ours covered.
Mm.
By the way, the peregrine falcons here come down and crawl into rabbit burrows. Can you believe that?
Really? To get the rabbits or just
to get the rabbits?
To get the rabbits. Okay.
I don't know how deep they go, but it's not uncommon to see them going into a rabbit hole and emerging.
With a rabbit. Okay, that's good. It keeps the rabbit population down.
Yes, and one of our neighbours got a good report of it and sent it off to the peregrine falcon or the ornithologist or something that he keeps an eye on them for them, and they'd never heard of it. And by the way, there's another crowd here that take ferrets and they clean your property out with ferrets. And they have this. By the by, they have little radio-controlled transmitters on the ferret so they know where they go.
Mm-hmm.
These burrows on your property can be 20 metres.
Yeah.
Anyway, because the burrows have two entrances, they put a fence around, like a little temporary fence. The ferrets go in and, I guess, kill a few rabbits, and then the rabbits come running out. They get caught in the net, and then the guy that does this let the dogs handle them.
But
I'm big on this because at the moment I've got some beautiful birds around and beautiful bird song, and I can't stand the thought of these stoats and getting these birds' eggs, and so that's why I've got that trap, because just where I'm staying, the bird life is starting to take off as we've cleaned the rubbish up a bit.
Right.
And I didn't want the stoats getting into my chicken coop, and so it's become a good excuse to get the native wildlife away. But people do think you're being cruel, but it's what you need to do for the birds.
Yeah, for sure. Now, another important thing, once you get all established, chickens must have plenty of greens. And this is where, unless they're free-ranging in a big paddock, you know, with a poultry farm and lots of grass and ability to, because that I have been amazed that you can put half a dozen or a dozen chicken into a confined area where you would spend a week weeding, and they can clean it up in less than a week. Perfect.
Wow.
They are amazing at cleaning up and tidying up areas. But once I've cleaned up their run, of course, there's no grass, there's no nothing growing there anymore. So all your veggie cuttings and bits and pieces, when you mow the lawn, you take the fresh grass, throw it over for them, pull out weeds, throw it to the chooks. They convert all it into manure, and the eggs are beautiful. They, if you want good eggs with yellow, deep yellow, beautiful yolks, not these insipid. Do you know the chickens' eggs that you buy in the supermarket, they actually feed the chooks a special food to make the yolks look yellow. Otherwise, no. They'd be, yeah, no, it's fair go.
Isn't it disgusting?
Because they don't get any greens. So
with your run, Wally, mm-hmm. at the moment, mine's got sort of where I'm going to put it is sort of rubbish, but it's rubbish really, and it's mm-hmm. been mowed and it's died back with winter, but there's little bits of hemlock, not very high, like an inch high, coming. And I read that the hemlock will kill a chook.
If they eat it.
Yeah, what will they do to the, what will we do with the hemlock?
Well, first of all, usually you find animals such as chickens, et cetera, are very intelligent, much more intelligent than some people I know of, and they will probably avoid any poisonous weed.
Okay.
But then again, you're not sure. And also the problem arises if they're not getting sufficient greens, they may be tempted to eat something
okay.
that's not good for them.
Okay. So I'll weed that out. I'll just hoe that out.
Yep.
And okay. Now, with your run, what would you put in there? Anything or nothing? I mean, I know feed the greens, but in the meantime, I was wondering about gathering up a whole lot of leaves and organic matter and putting in there for them to fossick amongst.
I'm not sure what you're meaning by a run. Mine is just a big open area that's fenced off, shall
yeah,
we say.
That's what I'm saying. What did you just leave it?
Well, I've got fruit trees growing in there. I think I've got two avocados growing there. I've got some natural trees that were there beforehand, ornamentals. I've got an apple tree growing there. I've got a fairly big run. Like, it's yeah. probably, a quarter of an acre?
Oh, wow.
No, hold on. No, that the whole section's a quarter of an acre. So it's probably about an eighth, no, less than that, a sixteenth of an acre.
Okay. That's big. That's big. Yeah. And do you have to do anything to your run, or the chickens just take care of it?
No.
So your manure, the actual manure that you get, isn't from the run, it's actually from the coop.
It's from the chicken house.
Got it.
Yep. Because the stuff outside, it just makes the ground very fertile. So my trees and so forth grow very well because I've got all that manure there from the daytime activities. But I'm not sure. I think chooks mainly have their toilets at night time because you don't see much on the ground during the day from their activities. They probably eat and peck and do their bits and then go to bed at night and then have a toilet.
We get -5 pretty regularly here.
Yeah.
Will they be all right in a coop when they're adults?
Yes. Well, they're all on their perches and they all kind of huddle up and so forth. I did hear the story one time down your way many years ago that I think the temperature dropped down to minus 20 or something, and all the chickens froze on their perches and were dead the next morning, frozen on the perches.
Wow.
But that was down to like minus 20 or something.
I might insulate them a bit too. I've got a whole lot of insulation lying around that I could put into this coop to keep it warmer for when they're adults, but I've got to get them here. I think Grace tells me it's 18 weeks and they'll be there ready to lay. I'm very excited, and I've overcome, well, they're chicks at least. Maybe when they're feathered up and they look at me and they gobble, gobble or whatever they do, I'll get scared and run away from them.
It's only geese you've got to worry about. My God, geese are dangerous. And swans. Yeah. And they will chase you.
I don't like turkeys.
Turkeys can too, yeah.
I don't like them. They scare me. But anyway, I'm a bit of a scaredy cat when it comes to things like that.
You're okay with spiders, aren't you?
I love spiders.
Oh, that's good.
And I don't mind mice or rats. My wife runs a mile from rats and mice. I don't mind them. But for some reason, chickens, when they look at me, they scare the bejesus out of me. It must be something in my dark past. I had a dinosaur scare me or something. Tell me, we need to talk. Oh, I've got a question, first of all, from a listener. So a listener said that they have a family tradition and they go off and they collect seaweed from the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And they use it on their veggie garden as fertilizer.
Right.
And they love doing that.
Yep.
But they're worried. With the oceans becoming polluted, is it still okay for them to be doing that?
Okay. Now, when we talk about pollutions in the ocean, what are we talking about, really? Like, first of all,
ocean.
You've got a big oceans out there, right? Now, if you're collecting your seaweed right next to where an old sewage outlet is, yeah, maybe that's a bit of concern. But remember, that sewage is good stuff too.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So what's the pollution in the oceans? Plastic. That's the big pollution in the oceans these days. And plastic's not going to worry your veggies.
No.
And let's face it, there's probably more pollution coming down in the rain onto your property and onto your garden from all those chemtrails with aluminium, barbarium, God knows what in them, coming down onto your veggie garden. And how do you protect yourself from that? I've had a listener ask me that question. I said, well, okay, you've got to have a glass house or a tunnel house so the rain doesn't actually fall in it. But then you're going to collect water from somewhere, and that water is going to have that pollution in it too, unless you can filter it out.
So you got to think of these things somewhat in proportion, even though it's of concern.
Well, it's like I say about veggies in the supermarket. We know that the market gardeners force their plants to grow. The plants are not healthy. They lack nutritional value. And because they're not healthy, all the cleaners in nature, the diseases and pests attack the plants, so they spray hell out of them with a range of chemicals on a regular basis, which all get into the food, right? Mm. And so when you eat them, you're eating a lot of chemical poison.
So keep up the family tradition of the seaweed is what Wally is saying. Now, Wally, we've got to talk some gardening. Last time you were on, we got on to garlic, and I discovered that garlic was still available. I could buy garlic because the garlic that I grew last year is just the best. I'm still going, and I use a lot less of it because it's so flavorful, if you know what I mean.
Yep, yep.
You buy that rubbish from the supermarket, dreadful stuff compared to the garlic that you get in the supermarket, the cheap stuff. You got me worried because you suggested, first of all, that it might be sold out already because they sell out quick. I got online and I scored myself some extra garlic apart from the garlic that I've grown myself.
Mm-hmm.
We briefly discussed it last time you're on, and I haven't done this yet. You suggested that I get some Condy's crystals.
Potassium permanganate, yes.
That's Condy's crystals?
That's Condy's crystals. Common name, Condy's crystal. Potassium permanganate is its proper name.
Funny enough, the only place I can see to buy it is your shop.
Oh, I'm the only one in New Zealand selling it, excuse me.
Really?
Yeah. In the old days, chemists used to go to the chemists and so forth. Now, in more recent times, some of the very old chemists, which are no longer, they are.
Well, that's another business, right? Another business has just been taken over by the chains.
Yep, they've gone. But if you were able to find an old chemist and ask for potassium permanganate, you probably get charged $50 for about 5 grams.
Wow.
Now, I'm selling 150 grams for what, $11?
Something. So I need to get some of your potassium permanganate.
Yep.
To soak my garlic in before I plant it.
Yep, just in case it has the dreaded garlic rust disease spores on the
You'd hate to get that.
On the bulbs or in the cloves. And in actual fact, what you do, you've got your bulb, right, which has got all the cloves. You peel off all the nice big fat cloves from the outside.
Yeah.
And when you get down to the start to get to the skinny ones in the middle, well, you put those in the kitchen to use for cooking. You want to put the big fat ones. Now, after you've got them all separated, probably about a teaspoon, half a teaspoon, into a litre or two of water of the potassium permanganate. Makes it go all dark purple, and then you drop all your cloves into that. You can leave them for a couple of hours or overnight and then take them out next morning, and then you plant them in the garden. And they will be free of any disease spores at that point of time.
You need to rinse them?
No. Potassium permanganate is one of the best sprays going for fungal diseases in the garden. And I'm talking about black spot, rust, though it's not so effective on garlic rust, I've found, but all other rusts, etc. Black spot on roses, you normally use a quarter of a teaspoon to a litre of water and you spray that, and that will clean up. It will help with curly leaf disease, it will help with brown rot and stone fruit. Everything. And it's cheap. It's so cheap. I used to have on the label about using it for fungus diseases. And one of my big competitors got very upset about that. And he went to the government and complained. Wally Richards is selling this potassium permanganate and he's telling people to use it on their what's names, and we can't sell our fungicides because it's so cheap. And so the government comes to me and says, oh, you're not allowed to do that. And I said, okay, well, I'll take it off the label. Yes. I said, well, what can I put on the label? And they said, well, we don't know. And I said, how about if I put on staining deer antlers? They said, oh, yes, you can do put that on the label. So on my label, it's got staining deer antlers. And we sell a lot of it to people in the roaring season that go out shooting the stags. And that, then they order from us the potassium permanganate because you know how the antlers get sun bleached?
Yes.
Gets the colour back into the antlers.
And how should I prepare the garden for garlic?
Well, they're gross feeders. So,
what's that mean?
Gross feeders means they're hungry. They love their tucker, gross feeder, right? Not the one that feed in the bottom of the food chain.
Yeah.
That's a different type of feeding. You've got your horse manure, you've got your manure that you're using. So prepare a bed like that and plant your garlic cloves into that. it's working on everything else for you very nicely. Now, the problem is, for some people, they will get, whether they like it or not, garlic rust, right? Garlic rust comes in towards the end of the season, about the time when the bulbs are starting to swell, right? And it's the weather conditions, the moisture, the bit of warmth, etc. And then the leaves get these patches of rust. It just looks like rust. It's yellowy, orangey colour on the leaves. And, of course, that means instead of the whole leaf being able to photosynthesize and get energy from the sun, making carbohydrates, it's reduced down. So the bulb only gets to be small because there's only a little bit of energy. We've tried all sorts of things to prevent or control garlic rust, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. So I haven't found a definite one, but the best thing I've come across is liquid sunshine. You know NBL. About liquid? No, liquid sunshine.
No.
You don't know? Okay. The sun on a plant photosynthesizes, creates carbohydrates, right? Carbohydrates are sugars, right?
Yeah.
Liquid sunshine is my own invention, but it's not really mine, but I call it that because that's my name I called it. You take a tablespoon of molasses, you dissolve it into a liter of hot water, you let it cool, it's nicely mixed up, put it in a spray, and you go and spray your garlic or whatever with that. Liquid sunshine, it's free carbohydrates. The plant hasn't had to do anything for it. They just say, oh, thank you very much. Thank you for the carbohydrates. You can water it into the soil. And I've had several gardeners now come back to me and say, look, I got the bloody rust, all right, but I took your advice and I used your liquid sunshine and I watered that in and sprayed the plants and I got reasonably good-sized bulbs still as a result.
Wow. And molasses, you can buy, where do you buy molasses? From the supermarket, right?
Yeah, supermarket. And where what was you buy the, your sugar.
What was the mix?
I suggest about a tablespoon of molasses into about a litre or 2 litres of hot water.
And as long as it's hot, it mixes. And when it cools down, it doesn't come out. It stays in the water.
No, it stays nicely mixed.
Well, there you go.
And
it's time. It's the shortest days traditionally when you plant garlic, right?
Yep, that's a traditional.
Well, I suggest if you can, very easy to grow, and the garlic is astonishing. When I get off the show, I'll be putting an order in for some potassium permanganate because as soon as I get that, I'll soak them and then I'll plant them out. I've got to tell you, I'm so lazy and disorganized, I actually haven't harvested my potatoes, but I just go along whenever I need potatoes and do a dig in my potato bed. Mm-hmm. And up come these beautiful potatoes because I think they're being stored in the ground. It's okay, right?
Yep, no, perfect, because they won't sprout because the ground is cold.
Yes, and the kids, we love these potatoes.
Oh, they're beautiful, white, lovely. Oh.
And butter.
Butter and new potatoes.
Soaked in the potatoes. And I cook them outside on charcoal. Wrapped in some tin foil, and they're just literally to die for. So I can't thank you enough. But what I really love is as I've dug it up, because I prepared the ground with horse manure, and as I'm digging it over, oh my, that soil is so good after having the spuds in it.
Yeah, it is. In the old days, you had a new section that you're going to put your house on and so forth, the first thing you did outside after the house was built or whatever was plant potatoes everywhere.
Yes.
And they would actually loosen up the ground and make the ground good for your gardens in the future and your lawn.
And your lawn. Yeah. I was going to do that where I live, but I'd have to fence it because the rabbits, I think, would eat the potatoes as they grow.
The potato tops are basically poisonous. The fruit, the little green fruit that grows on top of the foliage of a potato is very poisonous, apparently. I've never eaten one, so I don't know. But the tops, it belongs to the Solanus family, and that family is poison.
Oh, the rabbits mightn't touch them.
Yeah, so I think, I'm not sure, but I think they'd be relatively safe.
I was going to ask you that, and then I thought it'd be a silly question.
No.
Oh, wow.
Nothing silly from you.
Oh, well, imagine it, because it would... I think that's a compliment. Just everything silly. No, well, I might try growing potatoes where I'm staying at the moment, because that would be wonderful for the soil. And if the because you can't plant too many potatoes.
No, and this time of the year, first of all, you get your potato and you make sure it's sprouted. You've got little sprouts on it, right?
Yes.
And ideally, you have them protected from frost and so forth, but you have them where they get sunlight on them, right? Yes. Which we call greening up the potato, and it hardens up the sprouts. Otherwise, you've got these big, long, white things that are coming out, like you find in the kitchen cupboard where you've got your potatoes. Right. Then you dig a good deep trench, like a couple of spades depth, right? Most important. Then you're going to take your potato with its little sprouts and you're going to put it in the trench. Now, ideally, sit it on top of a little bit of gypsum, like a teaspoon of gypsum, a little bit of neem tree powder. That's to stop the grubby insects in the ground eating your potatoes, a bit of biofoss, and a handful of sheep manure pellets if you haven't got any other manure, right? You sit your potato on top of that and you cover it over. You just cover it so it's covered. When the little sprouts come through, and before they get up more than we've got to go metric for you people that don't know inches anymore. Before they get up to about 4 centimetres, you cover them with more soil. And you keep doing that. Every few days, you go and check them. You see a bit of sprout there, leaves coming through, cover it over. It's going to protect it from frost to start with, because the soil is a perfect insulator. And what happens is the potato creates a long helm. It goes up very high because you keep covering it with soil, right? And all up that helm will grow the little new potatoes. Yes. And if
the run me that again, Wally. It's neem oil plus.
No, neem powder.
Neem powder, sorry.
Right. Neem powder. Gypsum.
Gypsum.
Tablespoon of gypsum. Some sheep manure pellets if you don't have another manure. And a bit of biofoss, right?
What's biofoss?
Which is a product we have, which is natural, broken down, reactive rock phosphate, and it's for the phosphate, which is quite important, right?
Now, do you need to loosen or cultivate outside the trench, or will the potato, that's the point of the potato, it actually does its own digging in there?
Yeah, well, you've dug out the trench.
As long
right?
as you dug the trench, it's okay.
You've dug the trench, you've got all the soil on the side.
My goodness. Well,
as the helm grows or the leaves come through, you've got to keep covering. And then when you get up to soil level, right, then you mound. You keep mounding up. And you can have a helm that's probably round about 300 millimetres or taller, and all up and down that should be potatoes. In other words, you're going to increase your crop by, 200%?
Wow. Wally, we're out of time. I so apologise because you're so amazing. Everyone, send us a text 2057, email us inbox at rallycheck.radio. We've got so much to talk about, Wally, because we have to talk about next time preparing our garden for winter in this time of year. We've got the garlic to get in. we've got great news about potatoes, and I'll be able to give you an update about the chickens and whether I'm still in love with them or I'm running out and having to get my daughter to deal with them. But thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure.
You're on Rally Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney High. That was Wally Richards. Got a question for Wally or general comment, particularly about chickens and my scaredness. 2057 for a text, inbox at rallycheck.radio. Thank you so much for listening.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.